I want to read the parable of the talents. Remember, as we read the parable, each point and characteristic is significant. God has put it there to teach us a spiritual lesson. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to
30.
For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Each according to his own ability or power. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, and good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who does not have even what he does have shall be taken away. And throw out that worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Bod dana mo keno mi chiling ali bario ki bon nan mo keno mi chiling ali bachel o mi bod dana achel achel du lim kit ma chalo en ramo tich kwede chi wa giro chi roi wote dana mo no chiling ali ba bichi u cha o tich kwede wo go yor yor cha to wile no ma go ba chiling ali ba bich bene ki ngan mo ga chiling ali bario ni bene no ma go ba chiling ali bario Eno dana maneno gamo chilinga liba chele uchiro kwenye buingom chio kano limpa la dite wakye kadong karo karo malaj la dipa lutinmagi uduogo uchako kwano limka chele kwenye dana maneno gamo chilinga liba bichi ukwa bino anyim kuno kelo lima liba bichi mukeno wachi la dita nene mia chilinga liba bichi nene ano chilinga liba bichi mukene La dito wani timo be mada in latin ma be dog lagen uno ebe lageni komje matiri mo abi kerido ebe lu kitwere komje ma pol do ani yom twin pala diti la chen ngan ma gi mi e chiling ali bario ni bene ubina nyim wa chila dit uno nene mi a chiling ali bario nendong ano chiling ali bario mo kenne la dito wacheni timo be mada in latin ma be dog lagen Uno ibe lageni komje matiri mo abiketi dong ibere gitwere komje mapol doni yom chin pala diti kadongan ma neno gamo chilinga liba chiel libene ubina nyim wachila dit Uno ang iyon ni intan magwa ikayo ta mayam pecho ye kodi ichoko bene kama pekero we kabiru ki luoro chachi rakano chilingi wako pinyingom ene gamgiri limi endo la dite udakiyeni in la tinmaraj tok bene in la wakom uno ingeni akayo kama pecho ye kodi tok bene achoyo kama yam pekero ye Ango mugeitero lima bodjo maloyo benge. Were karme ma bino agam lima kachel ki ma govane. Pi meno ukwan chilinga liba chieli wakoki bore. Umi ibo dana matigi chilinga liba parari. Pi endana chiela chiel matigi ginmo. Gibi miedo aki makaro. Chien biberigije mabob. Eno ngan mapegi ginmo. Kari wa ginmatie kwere gibi kwanyo wakoki bore. Bol latin ma kwanye peni chol pe ma tie wa ko kamadano gi bi kokun gi kai lagge
amen the general theme of this parable
we point matie kom char lokeni
is faithfulness in using what Jesus has given us
ubero ber lagen ikom ginma luba umi botwa.
The question is, what has Jesus given to us? What do the talents represent? And secondly, how do we trade our talents? And what will happen to those who bury their talent? Now again, the details are important. There was a man going on a journey. Who is the man? Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And he goes on a long journey. What is that journey? The ascension when Jesus went up into heaven. Jesus said, "Now I am going to him who sent me." He went on a long journey. It talks about the master's slaves. And who are the slaves? That's us, the church. People in the world are not his slaves. When you come to the faith, you become the bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 17 and verse 10. So you, when you have done all the things commanded you, say we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. We are just unworthy slaves. That's our occupation. That's what we do in the church. Sometimes we like to think of ourselves as great people. Mighty men of God. But the Apostle Paul called himself a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Bible says, talks about, or the parable speaks about settling the accounts. Talks after a long time, the master comes back. And he settles accounts with his slaves. This is called the judgment seat of Christ. In Greek, they use the word bima. We must all appear before the bima of Christ. His judgment seat. That we may receive what we have done in the body. According to our deeds. Whether good or bad. And it talks about the talents. What are the talents? I believe this is where most people miss it with this parable today. Because they misunderstand what the talents actually represent. One talent was equal to approximately 15 years of a laborer's wages. It was a highly valuable piece of money. Wasn't like a shekel or a denarius. If you had a talent, you were a rich man. And in Matthew 25, verse 14, speaking of the talents, Jesus says that he entrusted his possessions to them. The talents were his possessions. Now the principle of the talents. Is the more that you initially receive, the more that you will get in the long run. And in time, the greater reward you will get. And then those who get the least will not receive any more. And will lose what they originally had. And will probably be thrown in hell as well. So does that fit with what you know of the talents today? Now, some people say that the talents represent natural talents and abilities that we have. Like if you have the five talents, you're a doctor or an accountant, you have a good brain and many giftings. Or if you have one talent, you're maybe just like a cleaner, cleans the streets. But is this the truth? Because the principle of the talents, if you use that logic, is the more gifted and talented you are, the more you will then receive, and the greater reward you will have in heaven. And ungifted people will not receive anything, and will probably be thrown into hell at the end of it. Does that sound like the gospel to you? Not to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of this world to shame the things that are strong. The base things of this world and the despised things God has chosen and the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. So that sounds like it's the complete opposite of what I have just said. So surely the talents could not represent natural talents and abilities. Well, some people today will say, well, maybe they represent money. Now, the talent was a measure of money in the past. Let's apply the logic of the principle of the talent. That means the rich get richer. And get a greater reward in heaven, but the poor get nothing and will probably be condemned to hell anyway. Is that the gospel that Jesus preached? No. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. We could speak about the rich man and Lazarus. Did the rich man end up in heaven? No, it was the poor man that ended up in heaven. Doesn't mean that every poor man will go to heaven, of course. But usually the poor are more receptive to the words of the gospel. Because riches puff people up. And they become proud in their own abilities. And Jesus says that I will resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. So are the talents representing the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Well, when did the man give the slaves the talents? Was it before he set off on his journey or afterwards? Before he went on his journey. When was the Holy Spirit given? Before or after Jesus ascended into heaven? Also, using the gifts does not necessarily mean we will have greater reward in the kingdom. First Corinthians 13, verse 1, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, if I can move mountains with my faith, if I understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, but do not have love, I am nothing. Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons. And in your name perform many miracles. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I can imagine Jesus saying that to many people today. So if the talents do not represent any of these things, then what do the talents represent? What extremely valuable possession has Jesus given to his people? What extremely valuable possession did he give to the church? Before he ascended into heaven. What precious investment did Jesus make? In us, his bondservants, that we must be faithful to use, that will then bear fruit for the kingdom of God. What did Jesus give his disciples after his death and resurrection, but before his ascension into heaven? Luke chapter 24, verses 25 to 27. This is the road to Emmaus. Two disciples were speaking with one another about what had happened in Jerusalem. And Jesus comes and walks with them. And he says, what are you talking about on the way? And they say, are you the only one in Jerusalem who has not heard about Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in word and deed? We thought he was the one who was to come, but he has been crucified. Now we don't know where he is. And Jesus said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then to enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and from all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures.
I thought some of them were there.
I think they've already gone.
Some of them are there originally. Okay, but that's not
He explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. What did Jesus give his disciples? Understanding of the scriptures. Specifically as they pointed to him as the promised Christ. Do you understand that? Later on in Luke 24, verses 44 to 48, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead. On the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." So what do the talents represent? The true knowledge, the spiritual understanding of Jesus as the promised Christ of God. First John chapter 5, verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true." How do you know him who is true? Through understanding of the scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
Many people do not have this understanding in the church today. Some may not see this connection between the talents and the spiritual understanding I'm speaking of. How is seeing Jesus as the Christ of the Old Testament how is that an extremely valuable possession? A precious investment, a treasure given by Jesus himself. See, we are used to thinking of talents as things we physically sense. Usually people think them in relation to natural abilities or money. But God is spirit. And he communicates to us spiritually. The new creation he has fashioned within us is a spiritual creation. A part of a spiritual temple. that he is building, which is the spiritual body of Christ. For example, understanding how the Holy of the Old Testament temple is a reflection of the spiritual temple. Which is Christ's body. Is understanding the very mysteries of the kingdom. Understanding how the Old Testament manna. Teaches us about spiritual foods, which is feeding on the words of Jesus, who is the bread of life, is understanding the very mysteries of God. It is revelation, what the Bible calls true knowledge. The Spirit fusing together with the words to produce words of life. Jesus said, "The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life." The Word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. This is the true knowledge of God. Many today have a theoretical knowledge about such things. They read things in a book and they think they know things. But this is not what I am talking about. We're talking about the true knowledge of God. Having understanding of how these things all relate together. How they interconnect together. And that is a revelation that only comes through the Spirit. When Jesus opens your mind and grants you spiritual understanding. This is the greatest treasure a man can ever possess. Amen. Worth more than all the houses, cars. Diamonds and riches this world contains. It is the true riches from heaven. And it is available to all who have a Bible. And the Spirit of God as their teacher. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14. The Apostle Paul says, retain the standard of sound words. That's the revelation of Jesus as the Old Testament Christ. Retain these sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. God through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the good deposit. Some translations say the treasure, which has been entrusted to you. The treasure which has been entrusted to you. Ministers who take the time to understand these things and reveal them to others are enriching those around them, enriching others with spiritual treasure. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says that I am as poor, yet I'm making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. This is the job of a true minister of God. Not to enrich people with cars and silver and houses, but to enrich people with the Word of God. And this most precious of treasures a man could ever possess is usually ignored and misunderstood by people. Because they are naturally inclined rather than spiritually inclined. Because they don't have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in these days. They cannot hear and they cannot see. So they can never perceive these things spiritually. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 14. The Apostle Paul says, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. What is this mystery? It's the mystery of Christ, how he fulfills the Old Testament. He says, this is the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, because they are understood spiritually. They are spiritually examined. Are you a spiritual man in the house of God today? Are you wanting to understand spiritual mysteries from the Word? Do you want the treasure of God's words? Well, if you've got the Bible and you have the Holy Spirit within, God is no respecter of persons. And whatever he has done for me or someone else, he can do exactly the same for you. Now, when speaking of why he takes the worthless servant's one talent away, and he gives it to the servant who has the 10 talents. The master makes this statement. To everyone who has, more shall be given. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have, in Luke it says, whatever he thinks he has shall be taken away. There's many people who think they've got the faith in God. They think they have Jesus, but actually they do not at all. But this is the principle of the parable of the talents. And in the parable of the sower, Jesus said these exact same words. And it will be useful for us to go to the parable of the sower. And to see how he phrased it when he used these words. You see, where things happen the same places, they are connected. Matthew 13, verses 11 and 12. And Jesus answered them, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall be given more, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. If you have the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, you will be given more. And you will have an abundance. But if you know and understand very little of these things, even what you think you have, one day will be taken away from you. What is this mystery that Jesus is talking about? Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Says that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth of the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you understand that? In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of God Himself are hidden in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that you become wealthy when you gain that full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. Which is Christ Himself. The Bible often speaks about the true knowledge of God. This is the mystery that was kept hidden for generations, but has now been revealed to the church by God's holy apostles and prophets. And if you will receive this wealth, this treasure of a full assurance of understanding, if you will receive the true knowledge of the mysteries of God, which are seen and perceived through a revelation of Jesus as the Christ of the Old Testament, you will have received talents from the Master. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, I did not get taught this gospel, Nor did I receive it from any man. But I received it as a revelation of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul spent years studying the Old Testament, allowing the Holy Spirit to interpret what he read. And that's what formed his gospel. That's how he understood about the resurrection of the dead. How he understood about the gathering of the church. He looked at people like Elijah and Enoch, who walked with God and was taken because God took him. And he saw that this taught him about what will happen in the future. The Holy Spirit gave him understanding of the Scriptures and gave him true knowledge into God's mystery, which is Jesus Christ. I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. Not a revelation someone spoke to him, but a revelation given to him by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Now, why do some people get 5 talents, some people get 2, and some people get 1? I believe God would love to give 5 talents to everyone straight away. But he does not, because our hearts are not yet ready for it. Remember the parable of the sower. Some of our hearts are hard, like the seed that fell on the wayside. Some of our hearts are like the rocky soil. You can't invest much in rocky soil. Some people have good soil. Those who get the 5 talents receive a lot of this revelation and understanding. Like the Apostle Paul, who was grounded in the Old Testament. He knew the Old Testament. Because he had that background in the Scriptures, when he finally came to the faith, he received a strong revelation of Jesus as the Christ. He received the 5 talents because of his lifestyle of study and walking in step with the Holy Spirit. He proceeded to gain 5 more talents. He became a fruitful believer. As the energizing, life-giving revelation he received, fed his spiritual man and caused him to grow. And as spiritual life and revelation and understanding flowed into him, Christ became formed in him. He was able to put on the new man. Which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Ephesians 4 verse 24. When the Apostle Paul spoke to the Galatian church,
he
said, "Brethren, I am confused about you. And I am suffering the pains of childbirth. Till Christ is formed in you. As we grow in our Christian life, we learn to put off the old man, put on the new man, and we become clothed in Christ. Christ becomes formed in us. This happens when we feed on the manna from heaven. The living bread that came from heaven. The revelation of God's word. If this process does not happen in your life, can you really call yourself a new creation in Christ? The more true spiritual revelation of Jesus you receive, the more you will be compelled to desire. Once you have tasted of the heavenly bread, nothing else can satisfy. You'll sit in many of these services when they preach gospels of prosperity gospels. And success formulas. And you will understand and recognize this is not the manna from heaven. This is just hay and straw. Get me out of here. I want to feed on the true living words of Jesus. I need that revelation from heaven. Once you see something of the glory of God, you thirst for more and more. To him who has been given much, much more will be given. But to him who has been given little, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. The one who received the one talent knew him the least. He said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man." Maybe in those days they just saw God as a hard man in the sky. If you get out of line, he'll whack you with his big stick. But God is not just a hard man, he's also the God of love. He is the God of mercy. The God of grace. The God of justice. The God of holiness. The God of all power. God of righteousness. He is many things. But this man only knew him as a hard man. He knew very little of God. He did not feel compelled to seek the Lord. And he did not ally himself with those who would encourage him in the faith.
You
should have put my money on with the bankers. That at least at my coming I would have received it back with interest. It's important to get together with people who spur us on in the faith. But this guy didn't do that. Maybe he knew enough to initially come to the faith. But through spiritual laziness, he never grew in the faith. And he never became a fruitful believer. He never put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He never truly became a new creation in Christ. But instead he buried his treasure into the ground which is cursed rather than into the Word of God. And the little that he thinks he has is taken away. And this worthless slave is thrown out into the darkness to eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. And from the glory of his power, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. He thought he knew God. He thought he was ready for the kingdom. He thought he was going to heaven. But what he thought he had was taken away. Because he was lazy and never heeded the words of Jesus. The question to us today is, do we know God? Do we know him with true spiritual insight? And revelation understanding? In Proverbs 9 and verse 10, says the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Do you know the Holy One? Do you have this understanding from the Scripture? If you know the Holy One, you will have understanding. The Bible says, treasure this understanding. Seek for her more than silver or gold. In all your getting, get understanding. Wisdom, prize her. And she will exalt you. How do we trade our talents? By abiding in his word. By searching out the revelation of Jesus as the Christ of the Old Testament. Not just coming to conferences like this, but it's being encouraged from conferences like this to get the Word of God out for yourself. And start studying it with new eyes. And seeking the revelation of God through His Spirit. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. John 8, verses 31 and 32. And Hebrews 2, verses 1 to 3. The writer to the Hebrews says, we must pay much more closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There's many people in the church today who are neglecting their salvation. They think, oh, I got saved, that's it. I don't need to do anything else. I don't need to read the word. I can just listen to the pastor on Sunday. He reads the word to me, that's enough. Jesus said, if you abide in my words, then you shall be fruitful believers. If my words abide in you, then you will produce much fruit. But it's so easy just to drift in our Christian faith and become into complacency with our Christian faith. The problem with drift is you don't know you're drifting. Until all of a sudden you look and you see you've come a long, long way away. You've drifted far, far away. The problem is when you are asleep, you don't know that you are asleep. The Bible says, awake, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise